Amen. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. It's good to have all of you here today, and I know we have families that are visiting from different parts, and we're so glad you're here. Seeing the Reinharts here, and I'm sure they're here for Isaac's birthday, which was yesterday, but I know better than that. They're here for Titus's birthday, which was Friday, and Titus turned 2, but we're glad that they're here today. And I know Brother John Wilson has some family visiting as well, so we're glad that all of you are here. And let me say this, there is no place like being in your home church, you know? And how many have ever been on vacation and you went to a visiting church and it made you thankful for your home church? Would you raise your hand? Yes. And we were there, and good church that we were in. Love the Lord and good godly people. But we miss being here, that's for sure. And I miss being in the pulpit. And there's just no place like being in your church. And by the way, we ought to thank God for Grace Baptist Church. And we should often, because there are many places in our country and around the world that would love to have a church just like this church here. I've had so many people visit out of town and said, I wish we had a church just like this to go to in my city. So God is so gracious to us and so good. And may we never take it for granted. And I want you to be in prayer. So many things going on in our church and ministry. Our Christian school will be getting started back here just a couple of weeks. It's hard to believe. It seems like summer just got started, and now we're starting up school again. The kids are so excited about it, you know. They just can't wait to get back into school. All that good homework and all of that stuff. They've just been so bored over the summer, and so... But no, we definitely are excited. I'm excited to see all the kids and get them back in. It's going to be a great thing. So we're thankful for His blessing. And let me say this. Thank you for your kindness to me and my family. You know, a pastor needs to get away with his family just to spend time together. And it's a special time. We have enjoyed just being together. And there's something about you have to get away in a sense, you know. And so I'm so thankful for that, and I'm thankful for my family. And, of course, my daughter will be heading off to college, and you say, how are your wife doing? We're holding it together for now, all right? And how many knows what that is to send one off to college, all right? Well, so many of you have been so helpful to me. You've said, Pastor, it's bad. Just want you to know it, you know? It's encouraged me really well, you know? And so... But anyway, so you pray for us, and this is new territory for us, you know. And I didn't even have to go away for college because I had a college at my home church, and so my wife did, of course, from Georgia, but we're definitely going to miss her. But we want her to follow the Lord, and that's the most important thing. This morning, as we come to 1 Samuel chapter number 30, I want to bring to you a story that is always a great encouragement to me. About King David. Now, he's not a king yet. In fact, David and his men have encamped in a place called Ziklag. Now, you need to understand just a little bit about David. David, in a moment of a lack of faith, he's been running for his life. King Saul has been trying to take the life of David. And for 16 months, David lives in Ziklag. Now, it's the area of the Philistines. And David, in a sense, has joined up with the enemy. In fact, the Philistines have been nicer to him in some ways than King Saul was. In fact, some of the children of Israel. And David is here. But David goes away to war, to fight. And he comes back and finds that Ziklag has been taken. That means that David and his men have lost their families, their children, their possessions, everything that they own. And David's in a bad state. In fact, the men speak of stoning David. Can you imagine that? They wanted to follow the man of God, but now when things haven't gone so well, they want to kill him. And David does what all of us must do, and that is he encouraged himself in the Lord. I do not know what lies ahead of you. I know this, all of us can say and look back on our lives, and we know of discouraging times. There may be people here this morning that you come in these doors, you might wear a smile on your face, but in your heart, you're discouraged. You lack faith in God. And we've all been there. I have been there many times. But during the times of discouragement, what do we do? David did what we all must do. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Let's read this passage together. I pray that God can help us. This morning, I want to preach to you on this subject, encouraging yourself in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God, that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had taken to them. David recovered all. I want to bring your attention to back to verse number 6, where the Bible says this. Now notice, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Brethren, today we live in a land of discouragement, do we not? In fact, if you listen to the news, you can be very discouraged to hear about the mass shootings, to hear about the evil that abounds. But personally, in our lives and in your life, we all go through things where it brings us to distress. It brings us to despondency, to despair, to discouragement. But what we do in those times matters most, because God has made a way that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. In fact, years ago, I heard the story about a lawyer from the Midwest. This lawyer was just a young man, but he was very successful in his attorneyship and being a lawyer. But he suffered such deep depression that his friends kept away all the knives and the guns away from him, fearing that he might take his own life because of his discouragement. In fact, he wrote about that time and he said this: "I am now the most miserable man living." He said, "Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell." Boy, you would think of a man like that, that wrote that and was such in a state of depression. Could he ever deal with his depression? Could God ever use him? But that man did recover and went on to be one of the greatest presidents of the United States. His name was Abraham Lincoln. You see, may I say to you tonight that all of us deal with discouragement. It might be a discouragement about your past. It might be a discouragement about your family. It might be discouragement about your health and maybe something that has happened at your job or something in your life. We deal with discouraging times, but God has made a way for you and me to encourage ourselves in the Lord. In fact, discouragement is one of the greatest tools that the devil uses in our lives. Do you know something this morning? That God does not give us discouragement. It does not come from the Lord. In fact, the Bible says that as we think about the spirit of fear, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Look here, can I tell you, really discouragement is a spirit of fear. It's a fear about what could happen. Have you ever thought before what could happen to your family, to your children, to your spouse? Well, brethren, that's a spirit of fear. That does not come from God. God gives us love. He gives us power. He gives us a sound mind. But I can recognize with David, can you? I can think back to times in my life of distress and discouragement. In fact, someone once said that discouragement is a dissatisfaction with the past, a distaste for the present, and a distrust of the future. It is an ingratitude of the blessings of yesterday, an indifference to the opportunities of today, and an insecurity regarding tomorrow. It is an unawareness of the presence of beauty, an unconcern for the needs of others, an unbelief in the promises of God. It is impatience with time, immaturity of thoughts, and impoliteness to our God. Discouragement. It all comes to us, but how do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? What did it mean that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God? Number one, I want you to notice some things today. Number one, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord by searching the past blessings of God. Do you know it's amazing to me that in a time of discouragement, how we often forget what God has done for us in the past? Have you ever forgot about the answers to prayer? Have you forgotten about how that God has met your need and that God has never failed you? We forget, do we not? But encouraging ourselves in the Lord is searching. It is remembering the past blessings of our God. You know something, this morning, if we were to stop and to think for just a moment and remind ourselves how many answers to prayer, how often God has led us and directed us. And by the way, you will find that God has never left your side. In fact, He's promised that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But during a time of discouragement, we forget about God's blessing. We forget about His answered prayer. We forget about His promises. And the devil, in a sense, blinds us to what God has done in the past. In fact, discouragement often leads to doubt. It leads to disbelief. It brings upon us selfishness. It brings anger. It brings a carelessness with our words. It brings murmuring and complaining, and often brings a giving in and yielding to sin. Discouragement will lead us to despondency and despair. And by the way, if you compare, you will always despair. You know what, Sam? It's a dangerous thing in our lives to compare ourselves with other people. You know, some married couples can compare themselves to other married couples and say, we don't have what they have, and look at the joy and the happiness that they have. But if you do that, that will bring discouragement and despair to your life. In fact, the Bible says that it is unwise for us to compare ourselves among ourselves. Oh, so often, I remember this past summer, I was at a camp preaching to kids, and I enjoyed that, and they're in Texas. And I remember during the invitation time asking the kids about how many of them wished that they were like someone else. And I think almost every kid raised their hand. You know something? Is it not a part of our human nature and a part of the society in which we live in to compare ourselves with other people? To compare ourselves and say, you know, I don't have what they have. And boy, God has been so good to them, but God really hasn't been good to me. That is a dangerous ground for us to dwell upon. Because, brother, may I tell you, discouragement leads us to despair. It leads us to a life that is unpleasing to God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now think just a moment about David. What would it have been like for David? Here he is. He's been chased from his own area because King Saul is out to kill him. I mean, goodness, David's life. He's been through a lot, has he not? And David, for 16 months, David dwells in Ziklag. By the way, the king of the Philistines had given Ziklag to David and said, here, dwell here. And David's mighty men were with him and their families. And there is David living in the country of the Philistines. Now, David obviously is not where God wants him to be. But can I tell you this? God still did not forsake David. And here is David, he goes away, and David is on this battle and fight, and he comes back, and everything is gone. In fact, the treasured city of Ziklag is burned to the ground, and the Bible says that they were distressed. In fact, look what it says back in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. It says this in verse number 4, "Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Have you ever been there before? Have you ever wept to where there's no more tears? Have you ever wept to where you're so weary of crying? That's where David and his men are at. They have no more power to weep. They are in the place of discouragement. And then David's mighty men, the men who have fought for David, the men that were willing to give their own lives to protect David, now speak of stoning David. David, it's you. David, if you hadn't led us here, we wouldn't be in this place. In fact, I'm sure that David had the accusations from the devil. I'm sure David thought in his mind, I shouldn't be here in Ziklag. I should not be here. I'm away from God. But David, in spite of the accusations, in spite of the men that were going to stone him, in spite of the brokenness of his own heart, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what I believe that David began to do? I believe David found some quiet place among the burnt ashes. Maybe David found where his house was, and David sat among the ashes, and David got quiet before God. And I believe that David began to think about all that God had done in his life. You know what I believe David had to do? I believe that David, in that moment of hopelessness, in the moment of despair, David could not encourage himself by the men. They were about to stone him. David could not encourage himself because he thought, we're going to find our wives and our children. David had one person to turn to, and that was his God. Folks, may I say to you, God often brings us to places in our lives where it's just us and God. You know something? The story of your life is the story of you and God. We may think about other people that are involved in our lives and our spouses and our children and people that God has brought into our life, but really life comes down to one thing, you and God. Really life is how you respond to God. And why was David such a man after God's own heart? It was not because David was a perfect man. Oh, David was far from it. It was not because David never made any mistakes, because here is David. David shouldn't even be in Ziklag, but David is there. It was because David trusted in his God. He learned to encourage himself in the Lord his God. You know, when I was younger, I remember my pastor preaching about times of discouragement and times of heartache. And, you know, as a young kid, I didn't really know too much about that. I mean, man, my mom and dad took care of everything, and my mama made me good meals, and there was always plenty of sweet tea. Life was good, you know? I mean, hey, everything was well. I mean, my dad worked and took care of things, and there was always food to eat, and I was always had a good bed to sleep in, and man, life was just pretty simple. And I really didn't understand what the preacher was talking about, but as I began to grow older, and as I began to serve the Lord and began to step out on faith to follow Jesus Christ, you know what I found out? I found that life is full of heartache and it's full of sorrow and burdens to bear. And unless you learn to encourage yourself in the Lord your God, you'll not continue on this journey of life. There are Christians all over this land today that are not in the house of God that used to be faithful in church. There are preachers today that used to preach behind a pulpit like this that are not even in church today. There are missionaries that used to tell others of Jesus Christ, but they're not even in church today. And can I tell you why? They did not learn to encourage themselves in the Lord. Folks, we all are going to encounter sorrow and heartache and things where we think we cannot go on. Let us learn from David. Let us learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Now, think of David. Look at him. Can you see him in your mind? He's alone. David's heartbroken. His wives, his children, they're gone. His men, his faithful friends, they've turned their back on David. And now look at him. What is David doing? I believe in the midst of the rubble and the ashes, David is seeking God. David's parents are not there. His siblings are not there. His wife is not there. His children is not there. But God is right by David. God has not forsaken him. And by the way, where is God in all this? Can I tell you where God was? God had his eyes fastened upon David. God never forsook him. God was there. He was closer than David's hands and his feet. He was closer to David than his very breath. And folks, may I say to you, in those times of discouragement, we think, where is God? God, where are you? We almost say, God seems a million miles away from me. But I want you to know that through the eyes of faith, you can see a God who is looking upon you. A God whose ear is ready to hear your prayer. And that's where God was for David. You see, David encouraged himself in the Lord by reminding himself of the past blessings of God. By the way, you know, David did not have the Bible like we have it today. I mean, David couldn't bring out his Scofield Bible and begin to search Scripture. David didn't have it, but David had some of the great stories of the Bible. David knew about, like, Adam and Eve. He had been told. I believe David reminded himself about Adam and Eve and how that in their dark moment, even when they turned against God, God showed up on the scene and God said, Adam, where art thou? God came through. I believe that David reminded himself about the story of Noah, who for 120 years preached righteousness, and how that God came through and delivered Noah and his family. I believe that David reminded himself about the story of Joseph, who was 17 years of age, and how that the people he loved most in life turned against him and sold Joseph into slavery. And for more than 20 years, Joseph never saw his family members. But then in a moment, God came through. I believe that David reminded himself about Moses, who for 40 years he lived in Egypt. Then he killed an Egyptian and fled for his life. He then spent the next 40 years in the desert. And God spoke to him out of that burning bush at the age of 80. And called him to lead the nation of Israel. You know what David was doing? David, I believe, was searching the past blessings of God. Look what God did for Adam and Eve. Look what God did for Joseph and Moses and Noah. God did for all of these men. That God is my God. And if God did that for those men, God can still do it for me. I believe that's how David encouraged himself in the Lord. And by the way, it was not what those men could do that David was encouraged by. It was what God could do in those men. You see, folks, today, so often during times of discouragement, we look without and you know what we see? Hopelessness and despair. We look within and we find no hope there. Because within the hearts of every person here, brethren, there is no hope. But brethren, when we look up, we see that there is hope in our God. We see that there is help in Him. And that God will never forsake us. And God will never leave us. David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know something? I believe for you and me, for us to encourage ourselves in the Lord means that we are meditating on the Bible. That means we're thinking about it. We're going over it. This past week, my family and I had the privilege for the first time to be able to go to the Grand Canyon. How many's ever seen the Grand Canyon? Would you raise your hand? Well, I'll tell you something. It's just amazing. It's unlike anything I'd ever seen in my life. And you know what? Since that day, I've thought about it. I've meditated on it. I've gone over seeing it. And we got off by ourselves and kind of went down a little bit into the canyon. Scared my wife half to death, you know, but we had a great time seeing all of that and observing all of that. I thought about it. You know something, what meditating on the Bible is, we think about the great stories of the Bible. We think about verses that God has used to encourage us. We think about it. We go over it and meditate on it. And I'll tell you what the devil does. Well, the devil likes to say, well, no, you can't take that story. You can't take that verse. And the devil likes to tell us, well, if you'd done all the right things, then God would help you. But that's not the truth, brethren. Because all through the Bible, we find men and women who were sinners. Men and women who were not perfect. And yet God helped them. And God met their needs. And that is the same God that you and I know today. You see, David was encouraged. By the way, has there been times in life when you have seen God answer prayer? Can I tell you what those are? Those are faith builders for you. You know, I can think back to times in my life. I remember when God led me to Neighborhood Bible Time and I had to trust God. For the first time in my life, I had to depend upon God. Mom and Dad weren't there. Nobody was there to help me. Oh, there was people there, but I didn't know them. It was just me and God. And can I tell you something? God used that time of discouragement. Man, I was discouraged because I thought, I can't preach. I can't do these rallies. I can't get up in front of teenagers and preach to them. I mean, I can't do this, God. But during the time of discouragement, I went to the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you what I found. I found a God who promised me that He would not forsake me. I found a God who promised me that He would guide me along the way. And you know what I found? God's Word is true. And God's promises are faithful. You know something? I look back on that. One day my wife and I were talking. And we began to remind ourselves of all God's answers to prayers in our life. You know what it did? It encouraged us in the Lord. And here is David. I believe that David, you know what I think he did? I think he sat there and he went over those great stories in the Bible. But then I think David began to go back in his mind to the day that when he was a shepherd boy. And that lion came out to take one of David's sheep. And God supernaturally enabled David and he killed the lion. I believe David began to think about the bear that came out and how that David delivered the lamb out of the bear's mouth. And I believe David began to think about that day that he stood in the valley of Gath. And there was a man over 9 feet tall. His name was Goliath. He was the biggest of the big. I mean, he was the best of the best. Here was Goliath standing there defying the armies of the living God. And David stands before him with the sling in hand. And David defeats Goliath in the power of God. I believe David reminds himself of getting Goliath's big old sword and cutting Goliath's head off. And I mean, the Bible even says that he carried the head into the house. And that just sounds kind of cool to me, you know. I'm sure that maybe David's mom said, David, get that out of here. You're dripping blood all over the place, you know. That's what David did. You know why? Because David was reminding himself of what God had done. And if God did that in the past, then surely God will do it in the present. You know what he was doing? He was encouraging himself in the Lord his God. May I say to you, it means to recall the past goodness and the past blessing of God. And remember, it is to remind ourselves of God's past mercy. It reminds us of God's past faithfulness to you and me. It means that David contemplated the all-powerfulness of God and realized that nothing is too hard for God. You know something? In times of fear and doubt and despair, you know what we forget? That God is able to do all things. We forget that there is nothing too hard for God. And that is what David did. He encouraged himself by searching the past blessings of God. Number two, David encouraged himself, and we as well can do this, by speaking to ourselves about the Lord. You know, so often we don't talk to ourselves right. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor, I don't talk to myself. Folks, all of us talk to ourselves. All of us do. You say, well, do you answer yourself? Sometimes I answer myself, you know. Have some of the greatest conversations, you know. May I say to you today, we talk to ourselves. Oh, you may not do it outwardly with words, but you do it inwardly in your heart. You muse over things. You talk to yourself. By the way, when something tragic happens to you, you begin to talk to yourself. You begin to talk about what has happened and where was God in all of this. That's not talking to yourself, right? Maybe when someone has hurt you or someone has failed you, some friend has turned their back on you, you begin to talk to yourself. And by the way, the devil is good at putting thoughts into our minds that are not true about God. In fact, is it not interesting that in Ephesians chapter number 6, the Bible talks about our warfare? By the way, we're in a warfare. And you know, one of the things that God says above all, taking the shield of faith, that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know something, brethren? Unless daily we put up the shield of faith, oh, the devil is always hurling his fiery darts at you and me. And it's darts in our minds. The thoughts of despair and thoughts of doubt and thoughts of discouragement and thoughts that God has not been good to us and thoughts about other people that are not true. And that is where the shield of faith must come in. By the way, when we are discouraged, it's evidence that we have taken down the shield of faith. The shield of faith says, I know things seem terrible, but God is never going to forsake me. I know things seem bad, but Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know what David did? He spoke to himself about the Lord. Now notice back in 1 Samuel chapter 30, would you look what it says in verse number 6? At the very end it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There was no one else to encourage David. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Can I tell you what David did? It was at this time that David's heart welled up with conviction about who God is and what God is able to do. Listen, everything else was gone. David's property was gone. His wife was gone. His children were gone. Everything was gone. The confidence of his men was gone. But David's God was not gone. You see, brethren, there are times in life when it seems as if we think all hope is gone. My family is not the way it should be. My health is never going to regain. Things with a friend or a family member will never be the same. But may I remind you today that in that moment, you must speak to yourself about who God is. Folks, today, people change, do they not? Places change, and churches change, and friendships change. But we serve a God who changes not. And here's what I love to think about. God's love for you and me never changes. No matter this morning, if you're far away from God, may I tell you, God's love for you has never changed. God cares for you. He loves you. He has a plan for you. And this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know something. There is a God in heaven who loves you, who cares for you, and wants to give you salvation full and free. You see, God never changes. And we think, even when our circumstances change, that maybe somehow God's love for us or His care for us has changed. But God changes not. May I say to you today that David could not say, my house or my city or my wife or my children, because they were gone. But David could say, He is the Lord my God. Brother, no matter what happens, God is still your God. And we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. Take your Bibles and let's go to Psalm chapter number 36. I want to show you something very important. Psalm chapter number 36. You know something? We must stop listening to the lies of the devil. Stop listening to yourself talk sometimes. You know something? We talk to ourselves. We speak to ourselves. But if we are not speaking to ourselves the truth about who God is and what God is able to do, it will lead to despair and discouragement. In the times of heartache, in the times of what's going to happen, let us speak to ourselves about who God is. Psalm 36, let's begin in verse number 5. Here is a man, his name is David, and he is speaking to himself about who God is. Notice what he said, Psalm 36, verse number 5. By the way, if you were to start in verse number 1, let's just start there because I want to show you the whole emphasis of this. Psalm 36, verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Look, David is talking to himself about the wicked man. He is talking to himself about, I believe, King Saul, who has forsook him, turned his back on him, stabbed him in the back. But then David begins to speak to himself about his God. Notice verse number 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. David's talked about God's mercy. He's talked about God's faithfulness, God's righteousness, and God's judgment. David's talking to himself about God. We read on in verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. You know what David is doing there? He's talking to himself about God. Folks, a part of your prayer time should be praising who God is. God is your everlasting Father. God is the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd. God is the judge of all the earth. God is the one who makes no mistakes. God is the faithful one. Listen, when we talk to ourselves about God, can I tell you what it'll do? It'll encourage your heart in the Lord. Why? Because that God is your God. That God loves you. He cares for you. His eyes are fastened upon you just as they were upon David. David encouraged himself. By the way, we all need to know the Lord. That's the key to life. That's the secret of really knowing the Lord. It's the secret of life is to know Him. We need to know something about the depth of God's love. We need to know something about His forgiveness that can never be measured. We need to know something about how long-suffering God is and how patient He is with you and me. God is so patient with us. He remembers our frame. He knows that we're dust. By the way, you know something, little children. You know, I hope that you're not impatient with children. I thank God for the little children that we have around this church. By the way, Jesus loves the little children, does He not? In fact, the disciples one day said, "Hey, get these kids away from Jesus." And Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." But parents, how do you look upon your kids? Do you always look upon them in disdain and hatred? No. Do you look upon them with your and think they'll never learn? No. You love them. You have compassion upon them. You care for them. You look upon them with eyes of love and tenderness and love that you have for them. Brethren, if we can look upon our own children like that, we are evil, the Bible says. And yet, how does God look upon us as His own children? He looks upon us with an infallible love, with an unceasing care and a tenderness. We think of God as if, "Boy, God's got to be done with me. I've failed so many times." No, God is not done with you. God is not finished with you. God is not fed up with you. He loves you. He cares for you. That is my God today. That encourages my heart in the Lord. That's what David is doing. Look, we need to know something about His tenderness, His gentleness. We need to know something about how sweet and precious our God is. We need to know about His comforting presence. We need to know in the depth of our soul that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We need to understand again that He is a present help in time of trouble. David spoke to himself about who God is. That is where you will encourage yourself in the Lord. You see, sometimes in the moments of despair, we think somehow that God has changed, that God has forsaken us. But brethren, can I tell you this? We must magnify who God really is. And by the way, we cannot make God any bigger than He already is. I mean, He is all powerful. We can't make Him more powerful. But when we focus on who God is, it magnifies Him to ourselves. Look here, has God ever become bigger in your life? I hope so. That doesn't mean that God really got bigger. He just became bigger in your perception. Look here, have you ever been reading the Bible before and God begins to speak to your heart and you begin to think God is real and He loves me? It wasn't that God became real at that moment. He just became real to you. You see, it is so often our perception of who God is. David is reminding himself of who God is. By the way, David had a choice. And you know what? We all have choices. Today, you at this point in your life are the sum total of the decisions and the choices that you have made at this point in your life. And David had a choice. He could either stand there and look and look and weep and stand there in the dust and ashes and quit and give up, or David could turn to God. And when David turned to God, he saw God able to help him. He saw what God could do. By the way, Peter had his choice whether he would look at the water or whether he would look at the Savior. And you remember in that moment, he saw the water and he saw the winds and the seas boisterous about him. And he began to sink, did he not? And what did he do? He cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus saved him. Look here, throughout life, I think all of us began to look at the sea and the waves, and we began to look at all the dangers, and the spirit of fear overtakes us. But in that moment, if we will say, "Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, I need you in this moment." And if we will encourage ourselves by searching the past blessings of God and by searching who God really is, by thinking about who God is, we will encourage ourselves in the Lord. Folks, the greatest danger in the hour of discouragement is not the trouble or the sorrow that we are dealing with. It is the greatest danger is failing to trust God in that moment. Years ago, there was a great missionary, a great lady. Her name was Gladys Aylward. She was a missionary to China more than 50 years ago, but she was forced to flee when the Japanese invaded Yangqing. There she was, alone. But she now had to leave her work. And with just one assistant, she led more than 100 orphans over the mountains towards free China. During Gladys Aylward's journey out of the war-torn Yangqing, she dealt with moments of despair and discouragement. She thought to herself, "How am I ever going to get these 100 kids free? How am I going to take them in safety? How is it ever going to happen?" And after passing a sleepless night one time, she faced the morning with no hope of reaching safety. She was in a moment of despair. And a little 13-year-old girl in the group reminded Gladys Aylward of their much-loved story of Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. And she reminded Gladys Aylward, but Miss Aylward said, "But I am not Moses." And the little girl cried out, "Of course you aren't, but Jehovah is still God." Can I tell you something? No, I'm not Moses, and I'm not Joshua, and I'm not Joseph, and I'm not David. But I'm going to tell you something. The same God who helped David is the same God who loves you and me. He's the same God. And He is no respecter of persons. And may I say to you today, if God will help Moses and help David, then God will help you. That's where we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. That God loves me just like He loved David. God loves me just like He loved all of the great men and women of God's Word. He loves you and me the same. So, number one, we encourage ourselves by searching the past blessings of God. But also, we encourage ourselves by speaking to ourselves about who God is. And number three, the last thing, we encourage ourselves in the Lord by seeking divine direction from the Lord. Now, is it not amazing that when we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 30, would you turn back there if you would please? 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Folks, is it not amazing that before David went to Ziklag, we find no mention of David seeking divine direction? We don't find that. But now, before David gets up and does anything, David seeks direction from God. Now, I've got news for you. If some enemy had come in and taken my wife and my children, I'm going to tell you something, I'd have a hard time waiting on God. I'd want to say, "Hey, let's go. Let's get the tank. Let's get the machine gun. Let's get the bazooka. Let's get everything we can get, you know. Let's get an army. Let's go. Let's do something about this." But David first sought God. And I think that's very important. David prayed to God, God, should I go up? Lord, what do you want me to do? And folks, may I say this to you. In our times of discouragement, so often we are prone to making some unwise decisions because we're not thinking right. In the moment of despair and despondency and discouragement, we must seek divine direction from God. In fact, we don't have time to go there, but the book of James is a great book to help us during times of heartache. In fact, do you know what James chapter 1, verse number 5 says? If any of you lack wisdom. Do you know the whole context of James is? It's about heartache and sorrow. Because guess what? You're going to lack wisdom. What do I do, God? Where do I go? What's the next step to take? God has promised us. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know that God has promised you divine direction. That's what David did. And by the way, I want you to know something. God did something in the life of David to help him. You know what God did? God burned down Ziklag. David, in a sense, was trusting in the Ziklag. It was a place of refuge for David. In a sense, God smote David to heal him. David shouldn't be there. David does not need to trust in Ziklag. David's trust needs to be in God. And let me say this to you. So often God will burn your Ziklag to put your trust back in the Lord. Maybe you've trusted people. Well, God will give you enough disappointment with people to make you trust in Him. Maybe your hope is in money. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God will give you enough disappointment and enough of money that flies away as wings toward heaven, as the Bible says, to put your trust back in the Lord. You see, God knows that the only safe place, the only place of joy, and the place of blessing is when our eyes are fixed on our Savior. Look here today. I don't know where you're at. I don't know. I don't know if this morning, if you walk through these doors and you're discouraged and you think it's time for me to quit and to give up. Folks, don't give up, because God will never give up on you. Today, maybe you're here and you're without Jesus Christ and you don't know where you would go if you died today. But you've come through these doors and you're just hopeless and you think God could never forgive you or God could never cleanse you. I want you to know that's a lie from the devil, because there's a God who loves you today, who brought you into this building. And folks, maybe you're a child of God here. Oh, listen, we need to learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Folks, today there is a God in heaven who cares for you, who loves you, whose eyes are fastened upon you now. Let's look to Him. Let's turn to Him. And you know what David did? The Bible says that David recovered all. May God help us to understand God is going to meet all of our needs. Let us encourage ourselves in the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed.